Welcome to another sermon podcast from All Souls Anglican Church, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Thanks for joining us as we study God's Word together. These weekly sermons are part of the teaching ministry of our church. Have your Bible ready as we begin this week's sermon. And stay tuned when we finish at the end to find out more about us.
Now, this is the 10th sermon in our sermon series of Luke's Gospel. And this evening, we're at Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. That's page 858 in your pew Bible. And it is in these verses that Luke records one incident of Jesus' early adolescence. Now, we know from our study that Luke remained in Judea for 2 years while the Apostle Paul was imprisoned in Caesarea, and that he would have time then to research his gospel, particularly dedicating time to interview Jesus' mother, Mary. And here we have that clue again of that truth in verse 52, that what this incident entails was remembered by his mother, Mary, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. But we also learn in our text this evening that Mary herself admitted that she did not fully understand what this incident meant. It was only years later that it began to make sense, and she began to understand what God was doing and what Jesus meant. So we must study this text carefully, because Luke chose this particular incident for a reason. And I believe that is because here it underlines the character of the Lord Jesus. Now, thus, as we've come to expect, Luke clothes the extraordinary in this event with the ordinary. He begins by telling us that Mary and Joseph had a regular date on the calendar, traveling to Jerusalem for the Passover. And we know that Jesus went along with them. What we don't know is if it was every year that Jesus accompanied them. But Luke makes the point that he did make this particular journey to Jerusalem when he was 12 years old. Now, why does Luke emphasize Jesus' age? He wants to remind us that Jesus had reached his transition birthday. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, 12 years old was the year that would lead up across the following year to what we would today call his bar mitzvah at age 13. You see, it was at 13 years of age that a Jewish boy would become a son of the commandment, or a full member of the synagogue. He would then assume all the responsibilities promised and implied in his circumcision. Therefore, this critical year from 12 to 13 was a time of specific preparation. It was a time of growing awareness of your membership in the community of faith. And so we can imagine that they're there for the week of Passover, and they bring Jesus along particularly so that they can prepare him properly for that transition to full adulthood. So we also know from the text that when the Passover festival was ended and his parents went back home, Jesus was left behind in Jerusalem. Now, we might ask ourselves, well, how in the world could something like this happen? Well, what we know from history in the period is that it was the custom then to make the journey to and fro from Jerusalem in pilgrimage for the great festivals in the calendar in larger groups, or parties of pilgrims for the holy day. And the pattern was that men and women would walk in separate groups. The women would walk ahead with the smaller children, and the men would follow with the bigger boys and girls. Only when they would pause for the night would the entire group gather together. So, knowing this, we can understand their confusion. I mean, Jesus is 12. It's his transition year. So is he still a boy, or is he already now an adult? How are we going to handle this? He could have been in either group, in other words. So what happened? Mary assumed he's walking with Joseph, and Joseph assumed he was walking with Mary, and they find out as they set camp together that night that neither had the young teenager with them. You can imagine the scene. I thought he was with you. I thought he was with you. What are we going to do now? Well, Luke tells us that there was 3 days before they found him, which also makes sense. They had walked one day from Jerusalem. So, we've got to turn back and walk one day back to Jerusalem. And then one day search in the city itself. 3 days. So you can imagine the state that Mary and Joseph are in. It sounds so natural to us when Luke records how, when they come upon him in the temple, the words just seem to burst out of Mary's heart. Son, how could you treat us this way? We are also left to wonder if this trip were the first time that Jesus had come to Jerusalem, what did he see? And what were his thoughts about what he saw? Did he see it as he later came to see it, when he drove out the money changers from the temple, when he said that my Father's house is meant to be a house of prayer? Or did he see the holy city and all its glory, all its history, packed with people? Some estimate up to 200,000 at the time of Passover. All of the glory of its color, the sound, the scent of the sacrifice upon the breeze, and the boy Jesus growing in awareness that all this was to point to a fulfillment in the Lord's Messiah. But what Luke is most fascinated with here is that this is a turning point in Jesus' life. That's why he gives us this incident. Jesus, here a teenager, will reveal something of himself that will determine the trajectory of his saving ministry. Can you see what it is? Luke reveals for us what it is in verse 52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and with favor with God and man. Now notice, stature and favor with men could be seen, but wisdom and favor with God would not be seen. And that's Luke's point. It's what's going on in Jesus' life inwardly that Mary and Joseph were unaware. And what makes the unseen apparent is precipitated in this amazing visit to Jerusalem for the Passover. Now, but before we go on, I want to focus particularly on what Luke says here in verse 52. Notice how Luke says Jesus increased in wisdom. Just as Jesus grew in stature, he also grew in wisdom. In other words, he was wiser when he was 12 than when he was 10. He was wiser at 20 than he was at 12, wiser at 30 than at 20. As his physical and mental capacity grew, Jesus filled out that capacity in all its fullness in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit in his life. And you'll notice what happens next. There's a description here that we find very difficult. He also grew in favor with men, and he grew in favor with God. Now, Luke is not saying that Jesus became less sinful through this process. The Lord Jesus, from the beginning to the end of his life, was without sin. But Luke is pointing out that while he was pure and sinless, he was not less than human in his humanity, or more than human in his humanity. Like a normal human being, and we could even say that he was the only normal human being as God intended humanity to be, he grew in wisdom. And he grew in his relationship with his heavenly Father in terms of his humanity. In other words, he got to know God better the older he became. He became more experienced in applying God's word in life the older he became. In other words, Luke is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is not some kind of pretend man. He's not a superhuman being disguised as a little boy. He is a real 12-year-old. He has the mental capacity of a boy at 12 years old, not that of a 33-year-old man. And the love that passes between himself and his heavenly Father is the love of a 12-year-old. And the heavenly Father's love is a love for a 12-year-old. The Father does not love him any less at 12 years old than he did when at 33 years old he laid down his life for you and me. But the Father had much more to love when Jesus was 33 years old. Now just ponder what Luke is telling us. Just as in a true relationship, the more Jesus grows in that relationship, the more the Heavenly Father's heart deepens in pride and love and admiration and devotion in all that his Son has become in our flesh. Now, there are many reasons why this is important, but we must stay within the bounds of our text here. So Luke goes on to outline 4 points of importance in this truth for you and me. He underlines how our Lord Jesus loves being taught from the Word of God, how he loves growing in the knowledge of God, how he loves being in the house of God, and how he grows in his awareness of being the Son of God. Now let's examine the first. Luke underlines how in his humanity, the Lord Jesus Christ loved being taught from the word of the Lord. Look at verse 46. Now, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Now, what was Jesus doing? He was excited about what he was learning. There he was, a 12-year-old with the best teachers in his country. And he was there to learn whatever they could teach him. He is not pretending. He was actually learning. Jesus was fully man, just like you, just like me, sin excepted. Therefore, the only way Jesus got to know what was in the Bible is exactly the same way that you and I get to know what's in the Bible. Jesus did not come to earth with a Bible in his brain. He had no magical method. He learned it just like any boy would have done. He would have learned it in the synagogue school. He learned it as he was taught to read. Yes, Jesus had to learn to read. He learned it in the hearing, then in the reading, during family devotions and prayers each day, particularly on the eve of the Sabbath. Now, isn't this marvelously honest? At 12 years old, Jesus is so eager to learn from the rabbis who taught in Jerusalem what they could teach him about the Word of God. And there's a wonderful allusion here Luke is making, an allusion to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. It's there that he describes the Messiah of God this way. Listen to what it says. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. Consider what Luke is telling us here. I mean, the thing that ignited the heart of this 12-year-old boy was he had a hunger. He had an appetite to learn all that he could of the character of his heavenly Father, of his own future ministry, what it would mean for him to become the Messiah. Do you notice the close parallel between the Lord Jesus and ourselves here? We too have an appetite to learn all we can from God's Word of the character of our Heavenly Father. It's God's Word that makes me understand myself in terms of how He saved me. It's in God's Word that I learn what it means to have the Lord Jesus to be my Savior and Messiah. And Jesus exhibits the same kind of desire perfectly. Now let's examine the second point of importance Luke underlines for us here. Love's growing in the knowledge of God. Now I want you to notice in verses 46 and 47 that Luke underlines not just the fact that Jesus is learning, but the method. Do you see it? The method by which he's learning. Notice in verse 48 how his parents are astonished by it. But they're not the only ones, because of verse 47. All who heard him were amazed. Now, why were they all amazed? Because he was not only listening to the teachers and asking them questions, but they were asking him questions. And he was displaying great insight in the answers that he gave. Now, it's very important for us to grasp this. The way in which Jesus was learning was by listening and questioning. Did you hear that? The way Jesus was learning was by listening and probing in questions and being questioned. Now, we know this is the method of the rabbis. There's an old saw about the method that goes like this. Why should a rabbi answer every question with a question? Do you know what the answer is? Why shouldn't a rabbi answer every question with a question? So consider the scene now. Jesus is listening, probing with questions. The rabbi, perhaps reaching the limit in his reading, his understanding of the question, answers back with a question. Therefore, thinking that if he, the rabbi, does not know the answer, this 12-year-old will never know the answer. And then Jesus answers. The fruit of the work in meditating in God's Word. He's gained insight from God's Word and the corollary of one area of Scripture to the other. And so Jesus answers, linking these together in such a way that the rabbi has never understood it this way. And so astonishes the rabbi. Remember, this is not because Jesus came with the Bible already loaded in his brain. It came in one way only. Jesus had taken the time to meditate upon the Scriptures. And here is where it gets so fascinating. Listen for a moment to Psalm 119, verses 99 to 100. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. Why is that fascinating? Because Psalm 119 is an acrostic psalm. Do you remember what we learned of acrostic psalms in our Advent sermon series? Okay, I'll tell you. Acrostic psalms were set down in this way as an aid to learning. An aid to learning. In other words, Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Psalter, was a psalm memorized by the young in Jesus' day. Do you realize what that means? That means Jesus would have had this psalm memorized. And then with insight gained in dialogue with his teachers, he deepens his understanding of his ministry and therefore fulfills what the psalm promises. There's a further point Luke underlines for us here. There is no such thing as a solitary learning in God's kingdom. You've heard it said there are no Lone Ranger Christians. Well, there are no Lone Ranger Christian learners. We must allow our learning to be tested within the community of the local church. We need discussion. We need questioning and answer. For in this way, we avoid error. For my dear friend, if you study alone, you will err. But in the way, the pattern in which our Savior establishes, we will gain clarity and insight as we take one part of Scripture and see the corollary with another part of Scripture as God's will is revealed to us in the text of the Scriptures. You see, one of the greatest tragedies we have as adult Christians is the temptation to avoid learning together. I have seen Christians get lost in the weeds, not because they eschew learning, but because they eschew learning together. And my dear friends, this does not just stop with adults. Because if we neglect learning together as adults, we don't have a pattern to enable us to learn together with our children in our homes. How many times have I heard in my ministry, has your child been baptized? Oh, no. We're letting them make that decision for themselves. In other words, we're leaving the children to discover their own answers by themselves. What is the result? They never mature in God's word. The roots are shallow, and they won't withstand the heat of cross-examination, of questioning and answering and questioning when they go on into their adult life. And so, the next question, how are they today grown up? Oh, well, they're not going to church now. I'm not sure what happened. And I have to say, my dear friends, sadly, I do. You see, the Lord Jesus in his humanity had a passionate desire to grow in the knowledge of God. And it's a passion, I believe, he caught from his parents. Now, the third thing Luke underlines comes from the very mouth of the Lord Jesus himself. It's his very first words recorded in Luke's gospel. Verse 49b. Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? There's a love for the Word of God, a love for the knowledge of God, a love for the house of God. And it brings us to this question, doesn't it? Why did Jesus say to his parents, did you not know? It's because of what I just said. It's because they knew the Bible. As he knew the Bible, he caught the passion from them. And they should have known that because of his love for the Lord, there would be nowhere they would rather be than in the Lord's temple. And so Luke again shows us he was quietly fulfilling what Psalm 27 says. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Notice, inquire, learn, be brought up in the knowledge and insight in God's word, loving the Lord's house, gazing on its beauty, learning in its porticos. And then verses 8 and 9 of the same psalm says, you have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Did you notice how Luke concludes and how Jesus' obedience to his parents was because of his obedience to God? He loved the Lord's house. And therefore, he loved his own house in Nazareth. There's a biblical principle here, isn't there? What is the hope of every parent? Think of that for a minute. What is the hope of every parent? Would it be reasonable to suggest that it is that our children will have more success in life than we have? We hope that they will have a better job than us, or a better career than us, or maybe one that engages more. They have a fuller, a more happy family life. We wish all these things. It's our great hope as parents. We must ask ourselves, don't you think, how many of us would wish that our children would outstrip us in awareness of the Lord, in a joy of Christ? What would we do if our children excelled us in a joy of Christ? What if they were to outstrip us in a love of God's word or a love for God's house? It's a very sobering thought, don't you think? A child being so gripped by God's word or wanting to sing God's praises, would we encourage them? Or would we discourage them by never bringing it up? In a way, embarrassed by their godliness. Would we dampen their zeal for God because we thought it inconvenient or an embarrassment? Oh, there they go again. That same hymn, wanting to read the Bible again. And if you're a teenager, my dear friend, be encouraged in how at 12 years old, Jesus was totally misunderstood by his parents. And yet, even though they had feet of clay, he went home with them obediently until in time they came to share with him the same zeal for God's word and for God's house. And then there's the fourth thing, his awareness of being the Son of God. Yes, he had a love for the word of God, a desire to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, and a love for the house of God. But now he has an awareness here that he is the Son of God. It's right there in the second half of verse 49. Do you see it? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Now, that sentence shouts out across the ages of the Old Testament scriptures because it's the first time in the history of redemption that there is a unique intimacy that has never been heard before. Jesus is gently saying to his mother Mary, oh, mother, there's a higher claim on my life than you, who are my parents. You should have known me enough to know that I would be in my Father's house. Now, the original is translated well here in your ESV Pew Bible. I must be in my Father's house. Write that one down in your notes, because Luke uses this language again and again in the course of his gospel. Luke focuses in on this burden, this unique burden. He's compelled. He must do this. He must do that. This divinely ordained necessity of his life, his ministry to save us. We'll read phrases like this: the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem to suffer and to die, and on the third day be raised from the dead. You see, Jesus realizes he is the Son of the Heavenly Father. And as a son of his Heavenly Father, he needs to be taught by the ordinary established means that his Heavenly Father has set in what his ministry is. And here is Jesus, at 12 years old, totally committed to the fulfillment of that mission. Jesus, nurtured in the study of the Old Testament scriptures, has discovered what he is for. He was for the returning to Jerusalem one day to do the will of his Father. He is determined he must go to the cross. He's determined to bring about your salvation and mine. So, my dear friend, if you are a believer, there's a great comfort, a great strengthening to our souls here to know this about Jesus, that even now he has this compelling sense in his character: I must go. And here Luke is saying, my dear friend Theophilus, let me give you an example of what Jesus was like as a child and how he felt compelled even then to bring himself to die in your place. You know, isn't it wonderful to know, as Hebrews 4 tells us, that Jesus is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he was tempted in the same way we have. And here he is, 12 years old, misunderstood by his parents. And Jesus understands that and helps you to know him better and to love him more, because you know that he even entered into your teenage years and to mine. And Luke underlines for us here, the Lord Jesus is no freak. He's a 12-year-old boy. He is not God disguised as a man. He is really, truly, and fully a human being. And he passed through his teenage years, all the while growing in service to his Heavenly Father. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You can find out more about us by going to our website, allsoulsnj.org. There you can support our mission by making a one-time donation or starting a podcast member subscription by clicking the Support the Show link under the Contact Us tab. You can also support us in prayer by clicking the email newsletter tab at the top. All Souls Anglican Church. Simple church, ancient truth, real people, new life.